Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, today we actually are in a series that I didn't intend to be a series, as I am providing some overviews of some series that I've done on the broadcast over the last couple of years. And so I thought, as I was praying about this summer, that it would be a great idea that I just give you some one-page overviews of the series and then encourage you, well, if the Lord is intriguing you with this line of thought and these insights, you can go and listen to the series on our archives on my website at markpg.org. And so in the last few weeks, if you've been with us, you know we've covered themes like last time, how He is our first shepherd, how He is our ultimate truth. All of these are portraits of God, of course. That's what I do. He is our rescuing trust. He is our creative healer, our family pastor, our deeper dive. And all of those were overviews in the last few weeks, and you can check them out at that website. And today, oh, as we're heading now well into the summer, the theme that He's put on my heart is from a series I did almost 2 years ago now called He is Our Empowering Rest. Now that almost sounds like a contradiction in terms, right? An oxymoron, but oh my soul, this is an incredibly wonderful journey. It's a four-part series that I did back in January of 2024. And there's 10 takeaways that I want to share with you as we take a scripture safari and look at how the Lord is indeed our empowering rest, who's always there for us to refresh, restore, and strengthen our souls. And might just say that with all the turmoil that's going on in our country these days, and you know, there's so many things going on in this world. Jesus said, you will have tribulation. I tell you, there are times when it just seems overwhelming, doesn't it? And as we come to the summer, as you know, we don't have the school regimen for those who have kids in school and all, and we have a little bit more breathing space, or perhaps not, because things are hectic at the house. But either way, this theme about how the Lord is our empowering rest, I hope will be an inspiration to you today. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to start over in Hebrews chapter 4, but then we're going to go to Genesis 2 and Exodus 20 and Mark 6, all over the place as we get these 10 whispers from God about how He is our empowering rest. And again, all these are archived on my website. It's called Helping You Hear God, by the way. And that website is markpg.org. Just press on the broadcast box and then Portraits of God box, and boom, you'll have a list of all kinds of 27-minute messages that I've been doing over the airways and online for many years now. All right, as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I just love coming into Your presence. I love sitting at Your feet, and I love sitting at Your feet not just alone, but with my brothers and sisters, as we're doing today. Lord, we want to hear Your heart today from Your love letters as we take a journey through them to get this incredible portrait of how You are our empowering rest. Because the scriptures always point up to You, always point up to You. We want to lift You up. So thank You, Lord, in advance for being our empowering rest. And may we catch a vision deep in our hearts to cultivate a lifestyle of living in Your empowering rest. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, the Lord is indeed our empowering rest, who yearns for us to, number one, if you're a note taker, here's 10 takeaways that actually are Amplified in that four-part series. It's number 98, by the way. When you go in the archives, look for series number 98. He is our empowering rest. Well, he yearns for us to, number one, rest in his son's salvation. He wants us to rest in his son's salvation. Hebrews 4, verses 2 through 3, put it this way, for indeed we have had good news preached to us. Now, that's the good news of the gospel right there. Good news preached to us. It goes on to say we're united by faith, and then it's for we who have believed enter that rest. There is rest in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. And this is a great starting place. You know, sometimes we lose sight of the wonder and the miracle of our salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. We forget that we were blinded by the god of this world, ensnared in the snare of the devil, that we were held captive by him to do his will. And a miracle had to happen for our eyes to be opened to see that we needed the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. He is the one who said, I want to marry you. I want a covenant with you. I want you to be my bride. I want you to be my son, in another metaphor, or daughter. There's so many ways the scripture describes how it is to come to Christ. So I hope you never lose the sense of wonder of your salvation. Matthew 9 puts it this way, that with eyes of compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ looked at the multitude and he saw them as downcast sheep without a shepherd. A downcast sheep is upside down on its back, so woolly it cannot get back on its feet. It's kind of like a turtle on the back of its shell, unless somebody comes along with compassion to say, let me help you, let me get you back on your feet, let me save you, let me rescue you. That turtle, that sheep, we will die. And that's what the Lord does. He comes to rescue us, to save us. And when that happens, and our sin is covered by his blood, we see that he loves us more than we can possibly imagine. He sees, or we discover that though, you know, he may be the Prince Charming, we are not the Cinderella worthy of salvation. We're the evil stepsisters with sin. And the scripture says that sin separates us from the Lord and that the wages of sin is death. And we need a rescuer. We need a savior. We need the son's salvation. And once there, the healing begins. Part of it is completed in our spirits, but then our souls, mind, will, and emotions are in progressive sanctification, we call it, or being healed or set apart and all. But we can rest in his son's salvation. Do you rest in your salvation? I know there are times when we just have so much internal conflict going on. Sometimes we may even doubt if we've ever been saved. But no, that's just part of the healing process. You are saved if you have come to that place where you said, Lord, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you. I'm a sinner. I am doomed. Save me. It's Jesus saying, I will marry you. And you say, I do. And we become one with him. It's an incredible, incredible thing. The Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to, number one, rest in his son's salvation. Number two, he yearns for us to rest in the way that he rested. Over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says, by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. This was the Lord's way through his word to say, you know what? You need to rest. In a cycle of 7 days, you need to have that seventh day and say, you know what? Disengage. Take a breather. Chill out. Focus on me. Worship me. Walk with me. Yes, you're called to be faithful and good workers. I mean, he was called them to be workers in the Garden of Eden, right? But there are times you need to rest. there's an old adage that says, regarding a bow and arrow, it says the bow, regarding the bow, it says, if the bow is always bent, that is, it's under tension, if the bow is always bent, it'll break. Those who own bows know you have to take it off tension and let it rest in its case or in the corner or wherever. Because if it's always bent, it's going to break. Our muscles, they need rest. You may do good physical exercise, but you need rest intervals for them to recharge, rebuild. The principle of fallow ground. We hear those who grow plants and food, you know, sometimes the nutrients of the ground get, sapped up over the years, and it needs a year or so to recharge. The Bible talks about years of jubilee as well. We are to rest in the way that he rested. He modeled it for us. Who are we to ignore it and be workaholics 7 days a week? Oh, he yearns for you to rest in the way that he rested. Similarly, we get to number three. The Lord, our empowering rest. And by the way, all this rest empowers you. It makes you stronger to carry on. If you don't rest, we know this just from basic sleep. If you don't get good sleep, good rest, your body can't heal itself. Your body can't get stronger. You need the rest. You need the sleep. Well, here's number three. We're to rest in his gift of the Sabbath. We're to rest in the gift of the Sabbath. He yearns for us to rest in the gift, his gift of the Sabbath. Exodus 20, verse 11 puts it this way, my friends. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to say, and he rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, the Pharisees came along many years later, and they made it an obligation. They made it a real chore. They had all these rules of what it was to properly apply the principle of the Sabbath, and they just made so many rules and got so tedious with it. It didn't become a day of rest at all. It became a day of stress and tension, and that's not what God intended. He intended it for to be a day of focus on himself so that he could replenish us. The Lord, our empowering rest, is there to refresh, restore, strengthen, and replenish our souls, and he wants us to do it every seventh day, once a week. By the way, I remember when I was being mentored as a young pastor many, many years ago in a mega church. I was one of 12 pastors, but our lead pastor would encourage us, and he would remind us with this little ditty. He'd say, fellas, remember, you know, you need to rest in the Lord. He wants you to divert daily. That's our quiet times, morning and or evening. Divert daily. Withdraw weekly. And that's the idea of withdrawing for a day of rest weekly. Now, those of us in the ministry, we kind of work on Sundays, right? So it's good to take another day off where you can really just be alone with the Lord or with your family, doing the things that replenish you, that type of a thing. So he would say, divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. That was his way of saying, take a few days off or a week if you can, perhaps between Christmas and New Year's, to abandon unto the Lord, to say, Lord, how did this year go? Lord, what do you have in store for next year? Lord, what is it that you want me to change or see that you can change? We need that time of retreat. And I love that. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. Rest in the gift of the Sabbath. It's a gift from the Lord, not an obligation. Hey, by the way, many years ago, back in Texas where I grew up, this is when I was a young dad with three little kids, and my wife and I lived up in Fort Worth where I was going to seminary at Southwestern Seminary up there. But down in Austin, 3 hours away where my family was, we would have our Christmas gatherings. And one particular Christmas, way back in those days, we went down to Austin. And my brother-in-law and his wife, they were also in the ministry, and all, they took time off from their church to go down for Christmas and all. Well, we got snowed in Austin, Texas. It rarely, rarely snows in Austin, Texas. And it very, very rarely snows on Christmas Day, but it did, and it was wonderful. But it also kept us from getting on the roads to go back home. back to our churches. They were in Waco. We were in Fort Worth. So we had an unexpected extra snow day, actually two of them, because we don't know how to drive in snow in Texas. We don't have the equipment to clean it up. We just have to wait for it to melt off, and it doesn't take long. In this case, it was 2 days. But my friends, that snow day and that Christmas gave me a picture of what the Sabbath is supposed to be. Unexpected in this sense, but it is expected every week for us to have a time when we just disengage from the normal things of life and enjoy family, enjoy Jesus, enjoy the time to replenish. It is a gift. The Sabbath is a gift. Oh, rest in the gift of his Sabbath. Here's number four. The Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to rest in seclusion with him. Listen to this in Mark 6, verses 30 and following. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while," for there were many people coming and going. "Come to the quiet." There was a couple of albums by two different artists over the last couple of decades that really help us see that the Lord wants us to rest in seclusion with him. Now, don't confuse this with isolation. There's a difference between isolation, where you isolate yourselves away from everybody, even the Lord, and self-indulgence or self-pity or stuff. That's bad. But solitude, that's when you get away with him to that quiet place. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Ah. He leads me beside quiet waters. Ah. He restores or refreshes my soul. And guides me in the paths of righteousness. Rest in seclusion with him." Got a lot more to say about this, but you'll just have to check out the series for that. Again, series number 98, if you go to our archives at markpg.org. Well, here's number five in our list of 10. It's to rest in his son's gentle yoke. Rest in his son's gentle yoke. Matthew 11, 28 through 29 is where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, just a brief comment on this. You know, we're kind of the only species that when we get afraid, we run faster. When we get lost, we run faster. We kind of white knuckle our way through stuff, trying to figure it out, you know, when we come to our wit's end. But you know what? He says, no. Just if, when you get that way, just stop. Just come. Collapse at my feet. Sit at my feet. It's kind of like a runner collapses on the infield after a marathon. There are times we just need to collapse at his feet and say, "Lord, I can't do this anymore." No, you can. "Take my yoke, my gentle and humble yoke upon you. You'll find rest for your souls. I got you. I got this." Well, here's number six. The Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to, number six, rest in his bountiful love. To rest in his bountiful love. Listen to this in Psalm 116, verses 6 through 7. "The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Oh, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." You know, the Lord loves you more than you can possibly imagine. When we get simple, when we get brought low, when we sit at his feet and humble ourselves, we receive more and more of his bountiful love because we're noticing it now. When we're in a hurry, when we're living life at a frenetic pace, we miss all the ways he expresses his love for us. Take the deep dive into the Lord, my friends. Discover that he loves you more than you can possibly imagine, that you are one with him. Rest in his bountiful love. Now, here's number seven. Rest with his son in your spirit. The Lord, our empowering rest, wants us to rest with his son in our spirits. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." My friends, in Christ we will find rest for our spirits. We can have hectic lifestyles, lots of things to do, But when we do so in a spirit of the presence of God, He will give us rest. He will give us triumph in Himself. Listen, if you get caught up trying to be Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It, if you're caught up in trying to manage your sin type of thing, you will not find rest there. You will find rest when you practice the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Him, there's triumph in Christ, my friends. Rest with His Son in your spirit. By His Holy Spirit, He abides in us at the heart of our being. Wow. Well, here's number 8 then on our list of 10. We're to rest in Him as your refuge. The Lord, our empowering rest, wants us to rest in Him as your or our refuge. Listen to this in Psalm 62, verses 7 through 8. Oh, God, on God my salvation and my glory rest. My glory rests on God, my salvation. The rock of my strength, my refuge is God. Trust in Him all the time, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. Oh, my friend, when you discover the Lord as your refuge, when you reflexively go to Him, when you are weary and heavy laden, when you are confused, when you are angry, when you are frustrated, when you are depressed, and you go to Him and see Him as your rock of strength and and He is our refuge and our fortress. Excuse me. He is our green pastures. He is our still waters. This is where we get refreshment at the deepest part of our souls. We're to weep and release the things that have bogged us down, that have overwhelmed us, bitterness and anger, resentment, regrets. Go before the Lord. Just go to Him as your rock and your fortress and your refuge, and weep before Him and grieve your losses, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, here's number 9. We're to rest in His warm, faithful people. Now, this is so cool. I love this because on the one hand, we're getting all of this exhortation from Him and encouragement to come and rest in me. But we can get isolated from His people in our effort to be in solitude with the Lord. But it's a both and, not an either or, my friends. So we are indeed to rest in Him as our refuge, but we're number 9, to rest in His warm, faithful people. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 15 in verses 32 through 33. So that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. I love that. We can find refreshing rest in the company of others. May the God of peace be with you all. It says here in Romans 15:32-33. So the Lord designed the local church, the body of Christ, to be a place of refreshment for us. Now, I know that every family, whether it's a bloodline family or church family, we have our issues, we have our feuds that may crop up, and the Lord gives us ways to deal with that. But we're intended to be refreshing rest for each other. People who've got our back. You have a handful of friends. We all have all kinds of friends. They're casual friends, they're acquaintances and all, but then there's those deepest of the deep friends that you know always have your back no matter what you get yourself into. And I pray that fathers and mothers are the kind of people that love their children so much that even when they royally mess up, they'll be like the prodigal son's father who was looking for that prodigal son to return and embrace him when he came back. No questions asked. That would be later. Welcome him back. He's family. He's back. Celebrate. Rest in His warm, faithful people. When you go to church, you don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. You get to be with God's faithful people. You get to be encouraged. We spur one another on to faith in good works, right? We weep with each other. We rejoice with each other. I hope you have a very celebrative and winsome church family to enjoy, my friend. And I hope your bloodline family is that way in your neighborhood. And you can be the one that can create that kind of spirit. It's amazing how contagious it is when you're the one with a warm smile, with the encouraging words, with the soothing remarks, with the gracious reactions or responses to things that come up. We're to rest in His faithful people, and we're to be a people that provides that kind of rest for others. And now let's wind down this overview of how He is our empowering rest. Number 10, we're to rest with a spirit of patience. Psalm 37:7 puts it this way, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes." Don't worry about the stuff that's going on around you or even that is happening that's affecting your life. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Why? Because He's got you. He's got that situation. And in time, He will work it out. And in the meantime, He will give you a spirit of rest and encouragement and security and safety and power that you don't have to let circumstances impact you as deeply as you may be letting them impact you, because He is the one who holds you secure. He's the one who holds you in His heart, with all of His heart. And that makes all the difference, my friends. I don't know what you're dealing with in life. We all have things that we deal with, every one of us. But you know what? Greater is He that is in us than he who is in the world, who brings the tribulation. Life is tough, but in Christ we can rest with an empowering rest in the midst of it all, as we wait with a spirit of patience for the Lord to work it out in His time and His way. Wow. Well, Lord, thank you for being our empowering rest. We want to walk in that rest. Thank you for the gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website for more at markpg.org. Till next time, while in love with Jesus, your empowering rest.